Good afternoon, good evening, everyone, wherever you are. It is very good to meet you tonight, to see you, to speak with you. We have the simulcast where BBS Radio is on the internet radio, 6 o'clock show, the Win-Free BBS Hour. And we have the conference call where Wynn now is rounding up the individuals on the conference call. Sometimes we have people worldwide that come in. We do 3 conference calls a week. This is our Monday night call, and people could either be on the conference line on the telephone or listening to BBS Radio. So Wynn should be with us in just a minute. My name is Terry Brown, and I'm the co-host of the Win-Free BBS Monday Night Hour. He chooses the topics, and then I often channel. Sometimes Carla Ruckert was coming in before about one time a month. She is the one that brought through the raw data in the 80s, and she has a conference. I believe she had a BBS radio show, too. She had surgery on her back, and so she's been out of commission for a while, but we hope to have her back soon to be on the call one night a month. So, I got into channeling myself in 1995. I got very interested in it when Cheryl Taylor was giving a series of channelings once a week. And I would go over there, and we would ask questions, and she was channeling the Council of Light. She had also been doing some police work with discovering who the criminal was or the perpetrator was and some crimes, and also locating missing things, like she located a missing submarine for the FBI one time. They came and got her at 1 in the morning and brought her in and said, "We want you to tell us some coordinates." And she actually found where the missing submarine was. She was quite amazing. So, Wynn, are you here?
I'm here. And we should record. Wait a second, Star.
Whoop. Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
This is Monday, October 3rd, Win-Free and Terry Brown on our conference call, BBS Simulcast. And Terry, did I interrupt you in anything you were saying?
Oh, no. No.
You finished.
Yes.
So we have a conference going on here.
All callers are muted.
Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Would you like to say your name and your city? Anyone that checked in while we were not answering?
Hi, this is Jean from South Dakota.
Hi, Jean.
Oh.
Welcome. And who else came on?
Hey, it's Chris.
Nancy from Orlando.
Oh, wait a second. Did I hear Chris? Chris?
Yeah.
Hi, Chris. And who is that other person?
Nancy from Orlando.
Hi, Nancy. And
Anyone else?
No. Okay. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria and Brooklyn.
Wait a second. Say that again.
This is Cindy in Peoria and Brooklyn.
Okay. Hi, Cindy, and hi, Brooklyn. Now,
hi, how you doing?
Cindy is not from both Peoria and Brooklyn. Well, it sounded like that, didn't it?
My daughter, Brooklyn. I should clear that up.
Her daughter is named Brooklyn, okay? How did your daughter get the name Brooklyn?
A friend of mine had a daughter about 10 years before, and because I had four boys, and I always liked the name. It was just different. And I thought if I ever have a girl, I would love to name her that. And about 10 years later, then I finally got my girl, and that's how she became Brooklyn.
Well, all right. Okay, anyone else on the line that didn't say their name in the city? No. Okay. Well, I'm going to mute you all. Did you guys see the topic for tonight?
No.
Nobody reads my topics anymore. They just show up. Okay.
I don't ever read your topics beforehand. That's why I won't know.
Well, you never read my topics because you're afraid you'll start thinking about it too much and say, God, I couldn't answer that.
That's Terry.
That's Terry. Okay, I'm going to mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Well, welcome. I know we have at least one or two new people on the line today. And, you know, we do three of these calls a week. And somehow we managed to keep them interesting. It was a little scary when I first started. I said, how am I going to be interesting for three calls a week? And I finally figured out if I didn't do anything, I'd always be interesting. If I worried about how I was going to be interesting, I'd blow it. So all of these calls are kind of seat of the pants, and we're all just sitting here and saying, I'm not sure how this is going to unfold or what I'm going to say or what they're going to say.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
And in a certain way, that creates a certain credibility because there's not much forethought except for the fact that on our Monday calls, all the calls are different. In theory, the Monday call is a call where I come up with a topic, and then I talk about it from my own experience, and then we query our sources about a topic and get additional insights. Now, I tend to figure things out by what I call reverse engineering. I try to understand them because I watch the patterns of something carefully. And when I see a pattern happen over and over again, I figure I might have it down. I might have some kind of understanding. It doesn't mean I'm completely right because I'm still a human and I come up with these things from my own cognitions, my own intelligence. And then Terry is able to bring forth these communications from what identifies itself as group souls. And group souls are energy forms in other dimensions that we can't see. And I can tell you they describe themselves this way, and that, again, the experience feels this way. So as you listen to these calls, it's not meant to be a model of some kind of new philosophy or theosophy. It's an exploration that we're all doing together and take what resonates. Some things resonate because you intuitively know these things and maybe you never heard anyone say them before. And some things you're not sure of, and then be open to the possibilities. And as you come into the calls regularly, if you choose to, you can have your own experience of reverse engineering and seeing what happens to you experientially, because there is the potential for an experience on this call that goes beyond just mental understanding of a concept. So this all started because I had voices talking to me, and somehow I managed to keep the men in white coats from carrying me away at the beginning of this, although I wasn't sure at times. It was very much like a science fiction movie. And if you study me, study my history, you'll know that I couldn't possibly make it up. And we have hundreds of tape recordings and of these conversations I had while I was trying to figure things out. And as we were going along, I started to recognize a similarity between some of the concepts I was learning and some of the reverse engineerings I was having and things about Jesus and things that he said. Now, I'm not a Christian, and I wasn't brought up a Christian. I was brought up Jewish, but I always had this desire to want to understand things directly. I didn't want to believe anything because it was in a book, because it was accepted by my family, because it was accepted by peers. There had to be a way of understanding it in a way that I had a direct experience. And for many years of my life, I studied metaphysical things and spiritual things, from autobiography of a yogi to God knows what else. And at one point, when I was, you know, in college, I was experimenting with different alternative substances for a while, and I wanted to understand where they were. And I don't recommend that. I haven't done that for many, many, many years, but I went through it myself, and I was in Berkeley, and it was a time that it was a part of the pure consciousness to do that. And I did. And I think I might have learned something from it, but I think I learned a lot more from life and from my own experiences than any substances that I might have done at the time. But in any case, we are all inhabitants of planet Earth right now, and planet Earth is in the throes of what's called a dimensional shift. And as I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, many of the things that were predicted in that book, which was in the year 2000, probably, that those channelings were coming through David Wilcock, are coming to pass right now. So I've had a pretty compelling 11 years, pretty convincing that I've got it right. I've got the understanding right. But I always say, you must check this out for yourself. You must integrate it for yourself. It must make sense to you. And as an overview, the topic tonight is when two or more are gathered. And, of course, that's a quote from the Bible, I am also present. I think it's when two or more are gathered in my name, I am also present. And I understand the meaning of that. When you read it at literal value, it seems to say, well, if I gather with someone else and I say, okay, we're here in the name of Jesus, then Jesus would be present. Now, I don't think anyone thinks Jesus is going to be present by sitting down next to you and says, hi, I've come, you're gathered in my name. I don't think it works that way, and I've never heard anyone report that. So when we say there's going to be a presence, I am also present, you know, the word is I am is also present. I am. And if you recall in the Bible, there was, they asked God who he was, and he said, I am How does that go? I am that I am. Was that God or Popeye now? I hope I'm not confusing it. But I am present was the name for God. And when Jesus said, I am also present, perhaps he meant that. Or let's take a look at Jesus for a moment and say, who was Jesus? Well, as I've come to learn, Jesus was a intentional effort, plan by the group souls, and I think the same group souls that say they're talking to us, to create a person, a being, to bring a being into this realm who could hold the frequency of higher vibrations. And what we've learned is when someone holds the frequency of higher vibrations, other people can feel it. All of you, at one time or another, have probably walked into a room and said you feel good vibes. It could have been a movie, it could have been music, it could have been a spiritual thing, it could have been just going to dinner with friends who you really have a good connection with. And where do good vibes come from? How are they produced? Well, I think it's all connected. When two or more are gathered, I am also present. And the principle has to do with, now this is my reverse engineering of how this works on an esoteric level. Each of us has an energy field that expands, and we don't all expand to the same level of expansion. Some of us have very big expansions, and some of us are fairly contracted. Now, the interesting thing is that does not necessarily mean the contracted person is less evolved than the expanded person. I say this because I think for a number of years of my life, I was contracted. And I was contracted because I was still working out some old patterns. So being contracted doesn't mean you're lesser than. And it does mean that the quicker you can work out your patterns, the faster you can expand. You probably have seen people. I remember years ago when I was in college, I would see these people walking down the street in Berkeley, and they looked so joyous and so happy and so together, and I could not imagine how anyone could feel that way in a physical body, because most of the time I was not completely miserable, but halfway miserable. And I looked at these people and I was just really curious, how did they get that way? I'm sure you've had examples of that. People of great natures. You always feel good to be around them. That's probably an example of somebody with an expanded energy field. Now, having an expanded energy field does not necessarily mean somebody's positive, because it's like, how does that person work that? How did they get an expanded energy field? Some people get expanded energy fields because they have a lot of minions who are paying attention to them, who are making them feel really good. For example, somebody that's very wealthy has a lot of money to spend on massages. They have a lot of people that they can have sex with normally. They have, they go to their psychics for a week. They can take really good care of themselves. So they have a lot of people giving them energy. But And that all that energy that's been giving them makes them look really good. But if you took those people out of the picture, they might look like hell, okay? So in a sense, that person is not connected to divine consciousness. He's connected to the earthly feedback of their own physical presence, and they look good and have a certain expansion, and other people can feel it. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have those things, but if you're attaining to a spiritual connection, the spiritual connection has to come above all those things that other people are giving you. The reason is because when you die, if the only things that were making you feel good were all those reflections from other people, when you die, you're probably not going to feel so great because you're not going to have those reflections, and you're going to be fairly addicted to coming back and having another physical body, another case of reincarnation, so you can repeat that. And this is one of the reasons what we call the negative elite wants to create slaves to ensure that they can keep coming back and having physical embodiments and have those kinds of reflections. Of course, they're addicted to coming back. They need to come back because when they leave this realm, they don't have any other options in the spirit world to go higher. So when you start looking and searching in the spirit world or spiritual world, when I say spirit world, I don't mean a world of deceased entities or anything like that. I mean looking to find the part of you that's connected to the oneness of all that is, divinity, the connection with all that is. And being able to experience that in your physical embodiment. And that doesn't mean you can't have the things in the physical world. It doesn't mean you can't get massages or have intimate connections with people. It just means that none of those things take you away from your connection with the oneness, that you remember that connection and you see all those things in the physical world as part of that connection, reinforcing that connection. Whoever is massaging you is part of God. Whoever is your lover is part of God. And that you experience it all that way, in which case, it's okay to have those things. They're not pulling you into the world. And so we have this idea that we can expand our energies. And most of us, when we try to apply that idea, okay, energies expand, we don't quite know what to do. Your energy doesn't follow your demands. It doesn't do what you say. And so it becomes an idea of, how do I expand into higher realms? How do I experience that? Well, what happens when two people, now remember, I'm saying this is my reverse engineering of all this. So it doesn't mean this is exactly correct. You can take it. And then we'll ask some questions about it and see what comes up. But when two people who both each have their individual expansions into the higher spaces, and they each go as high as they go, which may be really high or maybe not so high, but they have their potential. When they come together, their energies interact. And they start having a certain, if they have the right connection, they have a certain impact on each other's energy expansions. And I'm sure everyone has experienced that, but maybe they haven't defined it in this way. So, for example, if we look at our energy expansion as if there's this field that has distortions in it, that has interference in it, like, for example, maybe you had a past life and somebody stabbed you, and so you have this pain in your body from where they stabbed you. And you meet somebody, and they don't have that pain in their body where they stabbed you. So as you connect energies, the person that doesn't have that pain where he was stabbed, the other one was stabbed, will start to radiate energy to the person that has that pain. And over time, that first person can start to heal themselves, or it will heal because the energy is coming in where it was blocked. Now, the vice versa is also true. Maybe the person who didn't have that pain in their body because they were stabbed has another place where their energy is blocked for some other reason. And the first person didn't have that. So they will be merging energies with the person that had the other problem. So now we're kind of learning how to heal each other, and we're not doing it by trying. In other words, two people might have the potential to heal each other, but they never do it, because it only works when energies start to blend. And how do energies blend? Well, one way energies blend really strongly is through intimacy. And if people use intimacy in the right way, they can learn to heal a lot of these old patterns. Even friendship can be a way. Because when people are great friends, they see through whatever is negative in somebody. They see through those things and they look into their heart. And when that happens both ways, you have healing taking place. So another way is this: when two or more are gathered. That means people come together for a common purpose, a common higher purpose, not just a common purpose, a common higher purpose, and a spiritual purpose, and a looking to evolve themselves. Now, on these calls, that's exactly what's happening. We are coming together for a common higher spiritual purpose. And within the context of that higher spiritual purpose, there's healing that takes place. And we don't even have to know each other physically. We don't have to sleep with each other. We don't even have to be friends, although we could be. Those are nice things that could happen. But even when it doesn't happen, we are coming together so that our energies come together. And when our energies come together, it's my take that we automatically start healing those places inside of us that have been damaged. And that energy starts to flow in that area. Maybe in a way of looking at it, if we look at that example of the person who had a knife wound and then they meet someone else that didn't have the energy blocked, well, if you're on this call and you're the one with that knife wound, there's all these other beings on this call, and most of them didn't have a knife wound. So automatically there's an energy interchange that starts to download, that starts to heal that place where the knife wound happened, and that knife wound happened in another lifetime. You're not even aware that it was a knife wound, and you don't even know why you have that pain in your chest or in your shoulder blade or wherever it is. You just know there's pain there, and you don't understand it. Well, you know, you could go back. You could do a past life regression. Somebody could tell you this. You could understand it. But even all of that understanding does not heal that pain as fast as this blending of energies of when two or more are gathered. And that's the process that comes forth when people meet for a higher purpose. And that's my take on this concept, and it's my take on the meaning of what Jesus said, that when two or more are gathered in my name, I am also present. And when he said my name, I don't believe he meant Jesus, the physical body. He meant the Christ consciousness. As I look at Jesus, there are two qualities. There's Jesus the human and Jesus the Christ consciousness. And, of course, I wasn't there, so I can't even validate that there was a Jesus. But I can say that I've read some of the words that Jesus supposedly said, and I understand them from my own levels, not from the level of belief or doctrine. But I understood, even a long time ago, this concept of when two or more gathered. And I felt the energy of it. I could feel it. But I couldn't verbalize it. I couldn't explain it in the way that I just did. And so all of us who are trying to heal ourselves and heal our past and heal our karma can, this is like a really fast track of doing it when two or more are gathered. And it's effortless. You don't have to go to therapy. You don't have to review the past. You don't have to have regression. You go into environments where this energy is present. And you'll know, you'll learn what those environments are. Some of you are learning it just by being on these calls because you can feel the energy on the call. And some of you couldn't feel it, and then after a couple of months you could. And you started to get it. It started to connect synapses together, or you started to reverse engineer it, and you started to feel how it worked in a way that no amount of talking would be worth one grain of sand to watching a shift inside of yourself and seeing how that shift occurred. And then you understand the process. And then you start getting wiser, because now you can explain the process to someone else, perhaps, or get close to it. And you can create environments for other people to heal themselves. Now, one of the problems is, at least for me, I don't want to say that. I might sound like a religion, or I might sound like I'm believing in something. And I tell you that none of this has come to me through believing in anything, nor faith. Faith, perhaps, to keep exploring. Faith, perhaps, that I think there's something there. Faith, perhaps, to keep asking more questions to my sources. Faith to be curious that there's more to life than meets the eye, and I want to know what it is, and I'm going to keep looking, and maybe if I keep looking, I'll find it. Faith has a value, but faith and belief are only subsets to true experience, because when you experience it, it's totally yours. It's no longer in your mind. It's no longer in your beliefs. You know it works, you know how it works, and you can make it work, and you can apply it, and you can benefit others by helping them making it work. But never approach someone like they're supposed to believe something, because that doesn't work. Sometimes some of you feel separated from others because you've learned to understand the shift. You've learned to understand some of the meaning of this period we're in. You've learned to understand some of the ways that God really works in these group souls, and you know it's true. But if you think explaining that to someone else is going to change their life, it will probably get you thrown out of their life if you're too passionate about it, because you've had an experience by coming into these calls of knowing, and they don't have that experience. So you can't pass that experience on with a mental idea. They won't get it. And on that note, 6:35, Terry, are you ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. So we have this little invocation. And really, the invocation is a reiteration of what I just said. It's a way of gathering ourselves in a higher consciousness, in a higher interchange. Maybe gathering ourselves in the highest interchange. And really, the energies are already coming in, and some of you are feeling them just as I've been talking. I have this experience that when I talk, energy shifts, and that these group soul energies are kind of flowing through my human consciousness and radiating to all of you who are listening. And this is something that I'm not the only person can do this. In fact, you can do it. And some of you are doing it. Some of you are going to do it, because this is only meant to be an example of it being done, and that you can learn over time how to live in the example and to do it. But you can't do it through willpower or force. It's got to be flow. Flow and a little bit of courage. And the courage comes in. I mean, I speak for myself in terms of this. It's like, I don't want to talk about this. What if people are going to think about me? I mean, what if I can't hold true to this? I'm afraid I'll say things and I won't be able to live up to them. I went through all those kinds of thoughts, probably still do. And, you know, because in saying these things, there's a responsibility to be an example of them. And there's the fear that maybe I won't be a good enough example. So I'm sure other people go through the same thing. And I guess until you really know you can be a good example and you can walk your talk, I think is the way the words go. It's better not to say things and just do it gradually, because if you say things and then don't walk your talk, then everything you said goes down the toilet and people lose their respect for you and they think you're a phony. So it's an evolution, an evolutionary process that each of us has to go through in a unique way. So let me call in the light, and we're going to talk to our sources about when two or more are gathered. By the way, if you happen to be listening for the first time, these Monday night calls are seat of the pants. We never know. The topics are vary tremendously. And it's just a fascinating experience to listen in and see this perspective and see how congruent it holds over time. We've had conversations about how were humans created? How was the what was the first sex in the universe? How do you get over fear? Many, many, many topics. How does DNA evolution work? And this is like a whole library of things that everything from human wisdom in terms of how to improve your life to episodes of past history where we learn things that no one's ever known before. Now, they may not be true. Again, if you can't validate it, you have to consider it. And in considering it, you can look at how it fits in with the big picture of what we do know, things which are historical. And usually there's an interface where it fits in. Another thing is that oftentimes people who are attracted to these calls are what I would call old souls, which means they've had a lot of lifetimes in this realm. And like everyone, they have amnesia every time they come into a new body. But when you hear something about an era that you actually had an incarnation in, there will almost always be a cellular resonance and a familiarity that helps put pieces together and helps trigger even your cellular memory of that particular period. So if you're bored with today's topic, don't give up on us because we have lots and lots of different ways of approaching this. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection, a blending of energies of all of us present who would free-willingly choose to participate in this. And we maintain the sovereign integrity of our souls all through this. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, operating in the Christ of light, to join with us to create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. Our source identifies itself usually as Ra-An. Terry is the instrument through which they speak. They say they're a conglomeration of two group souls. One is the Elohim, and the Elohim takes credit for creating the physical universe. And the other is the Ra group, which takes credit for being composed of graduates of this realm, souls that have embodied, gone through many, many lifetimes, and got to the point where they got off the wheel of reincarnation and grouped together in another dimension to help planetary populations that are still going through reincarnational episodes. Okay, and we'll just wait for our sources to identify themselves, and they can make any comments on what I said.
Thank you. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is October 3rd, 2011, planet Earth. And wherever you may be or wherever you may be reading the transcript or listening to this call or listening to a playback on BBS Radio or on the archives of WinFree, we greet you and we are with you. We work through all time, and we are available beyond words. This is spot on, and as we speak to you, we are weighted depending upon the subject and the topic within the group of Ra and within the group of the Elohim. Today we are rooted more in the group of Ra in the area of a Christ, the Christ consciousness, which is a band within the dimensions, which is within mainly moving through and with a multiplicity of the Ra faction, the Ra group. We hate to put it into words, as we are beyond words, beyond dimensions. We are a moving energy. There is no word for it. We are a moving energy service facility. It is much more similar like the light that one may enter after death and move through in their transition to a higher realm. We have moving energies of light that can, much like race does in the Elohim frequencies, where grace can unstick things, bring synchronicities and miracles, we also can. We are more dense than grace, and we speak for the group now as we are speaking to you. These energies can help to unstick you, to turn your experience into a more fluid experience where you can move more with the experiential track that is presented to you and unstick you from densities, stucknesses, locked geometries, much as the same as grace can do, however, at a more dense frequency. So when two or more are gathered in the Christ consciousness name, then we have the permission to move in and to work with the individuals in that group to influence fluidity of communication exchange, understanding between individuals, availability of love and an unsticking mechanism to help individuals experience that love between individuals more readily. That is our comment. Are you muted?
Yep. The Ra group, thank you. The Ra group has millions upon millions of individual soul entities comprising it. And I imagine that it has councils and functions and divisions and groups that are at one density and groups that are at a higher density. and groups that are even of higher density within the realm of the mission of the Ra group. And that it's my understanding that as someone makes an energetic connection with the Ra group, that the Ra group can assign, or I don't know if assign is the right word, individuals in the Ra group can volunteer or be assigned to personally work with someone as kind of an energetic guide. And this is different from a spirit guide, although some people may call it a spirit guide, because one thing about the Ra group is that it never makes decisions for you, to my knowledge, but it will guide you in just energetically upliftment and help you make your own decisions. Whereas some people that have spirit guides are maybe talking to beings at lower densities that would want to make decisions for people. Like they would ask them, should I do this? And the voice answers, yes, you should. Maybe you could explain how the Ra group works with us, how they decide to delegate an entity or an entity becomes assigned to a person, or maybe they go to this person and that person or another person, or do they just stay around a particular person or a particular small group of people to work with them? Also, is my understanding correct?
When we work with an individual, we now speak to as representatives of the Christ Consciousness Group, who responds to requests to the Christ Consciousness for assistance, for help, for calming, for the presence of a higher source that can give counsel and understanding and can give mainly an energy of fluidity that can help ease whatever it is the individual is working through. The area that you are speaking to is very specialized, and within the Ra group there are very specialized areas. There are councils that speak to others within the Ra group and provide assistance and counsel to those individuals. And there are groups with specialized groups within the Ra group that work and are assigned to certain areas, even non-human areas, to provide assistance to planetary assistance, to species assistance, to assistance with groups that need to be moved, assistance to groups that are stuck, for instance, after Maldek exploded, assistance to stuck individuals to attempt to get them moving again. That is our answer.
But on an individual level, if a person's coming into our conference calls and they feel the energies coming in, and the person goes into their own silent meditation and says, I am open for help, is that something the Ra group responds to?
If it is directed towards the area of the Christ consciousness, whether it is specifically addressed to the Christ consciousness or is addressed in a manner that the Christ consciousness can assist, no matter what the religion, they will be able to come to the assistance of that person. If the person is requesting, for instance, a transition in the area of death, it may be an angelic group that is then a subset of all that is, that is assigned by the heavenly crew to move in to assist the person in that person's transition. It is then given to the channeled, to the proper entity or group that can provide the specific assistance in the best manner that that person needs.
So when you say an angelic group, does that mean more connected to the Elohim group, perhaps, than the Ra group in a death transition?
That is more even to the angelic group, which is not the Elohim group or not the Ra group, but is another group that interfaces within the virtuals in the earth plane.
Thank you. Maybe we're using the word Christ consciousness, and of course, when you use the word Christ consciousness, many people identify that with the entity Jesus, who is known as Jesus the Christ. Could you explain from your level a little more exactly what the Christ consciousness is?
Yes. The Christ consciousness is a specific, as the word says, consciousness. It is composed of many beings. It is dense and it is fluid and it is loving, and it is in a certain frequency band, just foul. And it is this very fluid, loving blanket that can respond to requests for healing, for purification, for providing a loving surrounding, loving assistance, caring. And one can summon it by a request, and when two or more people are gathered around in the name of Christ consciousness, they provide an anchoring so that there can be, in the case of two or more, a triangulation can occur where the reflection can reflect in the consciousness of those present. The Christ consciousness in each of the two individuals, or if there is more individuals, then there can be a magnification and a reflection of the Christ consciousness energy, which can magnify its effect. It is a band of individuals working together in a specific formatted formation that can work to purify, to eliminate guilt, to for those that are open and ready to bring relief to an individual and open them up for new life experience, and to forgive and dispense with past karma and guilt, and can help an individual forgive themselves or others.
Thank you. Now, maybe you could clarify how this consciousness was connected to the entity known as Jesus, Jesus the Christ. I would assume the consciousness of the availability of it has been present before Jesus and after Jesus, and that it's possible for people to tap into it, whether they're official Christians or not. But could you explain the connection?
Jesus had a particular affinity and a particular facile way of working with the Christ consciousness, and was connected totally with the Christ consciousness. And he could call it in at will to work through him with the individuals he himself was working with.
And before he came into this realm, was he a member of one of those beings that was part of the creation of the Christ consciousness in the other realms?
He was part of the and management part of the area of Christ consciousness. He started out as a beginner to explore the Christ consciousness and fell in love with it, so to speak, and became a part of it and worked with it and wished with all his heart to bring it to the earthlings, to ease their consciousness and to connect them personally with the Christ consciousness.
Thank you. Now, other beings, I assume, have been able to connect with this consciousness as well, perhaps even if they were not connected to Jesus directly. Is that true?
That is true. They did not always call it the Christ consciousness when they worked with it and discovered it, but it was a band of relief and shelter and refuge for many who were working on the ascended master path.
Thank you. I think we'll just see if there's any closing comments, and we'll say goodbye. It's about 7:03. We're going slightly over, as we normally do. And thank you, Terry, for holding in with us. Do we have any closing comments on this particular topic?
We rarely get to speak to the earth plane, as it is not our general job, as we work more with the operation of the Christ consciousness, which we feel is Nirvana to work with in that it is so pure and so loving a consciousness and helps individuals to clear their own guilt, their own karma, and to restore them to the area of love. And we send this love through the Christ consciousness to all the people of Earth. Adonai.
Thank you very much. And I thank everyone. You know, I've said in the past that I thank the people that are coming in on our conference calls in particular, because they are helping hold this energy of when two or more are gathered. And maybe this helps understand how that takes place. And
all callers are muted.
Yeah.
All callers are unmuted.
So on that note, you're all unmuted, and have a great evening, and we'll see some of you on Wednesday.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you, Terry. Welcome.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you,
Wynn.
And thank you all.
You stop conference recording. Press 1. Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah, I want to thank the Christ consciousness.
How did it feel, Terry?
It feels beautiful.
Yes.
We are lucky to have you, Terry.